for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, February the 16th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on grief, exchanging sorrow for joy.
I'm so blessed to be here, and this is such a wonderful group, and your life will never be the same. Amen? My life has never been the same, and I want you to let me pray first, and then I want you to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, we ask you to cover this room with the blood of Jesus. I pray for a download from heaven that will transform lives, Lord. I pray to be filled with your Holy Spirit power to be poured out upon your children. God, we put on meekness. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for every lady that's here. Father, I pray that you take human words and anoint them so that people can hear with spiritual ears what it is you have to say. Lord, even if we say it wrong, let them hear it right. Oh, God, we just praise you. I pray for angels to be all over this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in the heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And Lord, we take dominion over and bind every principality, power, Satan, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this meeting, this camp. And Lord, we do decree, Lord Jesus, Father God, we do decree that this will be only the beginning, because Lord, you're going to bring people from the north, south, east, and west for healing. Lord, there is no water holes hardly left in America where people can get the truth that sets them free. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We pray for everyone listening over the internet. We pray for lives to be changed. Father, I pray my life will be changed. I pray that we will never be the same in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Bring to my remembrance everything you said. God, we pray for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, miracles, healing, cures, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all your gifts, Lord. We ask you to download them and pour them out upon us in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you, Lord. We praise you for what you're going to do. We praise you that you're the teacher. We praise you, Lord, that you use people. Lord, I pray that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being to touch every life, Lord. You said the teaching of the wise is the tree of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Lord, thank you that every person here will go away with hope. We put the helmet of hope on everyone's head in Jesus' name. We put encouragement on them, Lord. We ask you to loose encouragement in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now pray with me. Lord, I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you, Lord, my members as instruments of righteousness. I give you my will, Lord Jesus, that your will might prevail. Forgive me for fear of remembering. Lord, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Father, forgive me for vowing I won't remember. I won't think about it. I'll stuff it. I'll sweep it under the rug. I'll remember it no more. And I, Lord, forgive me for making those vows. I give you permission to come deep down into my pain, deep down into my heart, and unlock every painful memory by the power of your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for fear of remembering. Fear of facing the pain. God, I give you permission to come in now with the truth that makes me free. You know, the Bible says weeping may go on for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? And this message is on grief, exchanging sorrow for joy. And God wants to exchange your sorrow for joy. The Bible says in Psalms 56:8, you keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. And God wants to exchange your sorrow for joy. Well, that's what His Word says. Why hasn't my sorrow been changed to joy? What is the problem? The problem is you haven't taken it to God. Because you see, parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And we think because God's like our mother and daddy that He don't care, or He's the cause of my pain, or He doesn't have a solution, or He's not there, depending on how we grew up. And we have a perverted image of God. God is perfect. Suzanne used to teach. Suzanne, put your hand up. Suzanne has written a book called Oh, Taste and See That the Lord is Good. And she used to teach at my farm when I had people that were, you know, into prostitution and crackheads and all that, to show them the character and nature of God. God is perfect. He never lies. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about you. He cares about your every problem. He has a solution for your every problem. And He allows us to go through things to conform us into His image. You say the Scripture says everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew He predestined to become conformed into the image of His Son. You see, it's not true that everything works together for good unless you allow that what you go through to conform you into the image of God. You'll either become bitter by what you go through, or you'll become better. And I can tell you, better is better than bitter. How you handle your problems will determine what it does to you. It'll make you sick. If you deal with it, it'll make you well. If you hold on to the bitterness and there's bitterness. Anytime you don't deal with something, there's anger, there's fear, there's bitterness, there's pain. And God says, remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Did you know that grief means vexation? Vexation means grief, sorrow, sadness, hurt, provocation. It means idolatry. You see, when we're hurt, if we're hurt at school or if we're hurt, if we're hurt at church, if you're hurt in your marriage, if you're hurt growing up, and you don't take that to God, you've got till the sundown to deal with it. Well, we don't know to do that as little children. So we turn to promises to cope. When I grow up, life's going to be different. When I grow up, I'm going to have a father knows best kind of home. I'm not going to be like my mother. Have you been like me? You look in the mirror, and one day I thought, I'm looking right at my mother. And I had a sweet mother. She wasn't perfect, but I had a good mother. She was the kind of mother that if there was a mosquito loose in the house, she wouldn't let it bite me. So I grew up knowing I was protected. I remember another time, I used to go to my granny's house when I was little, and my granny had, you could look up and see the stars through her roof. She didn't have any water. She lived in this old shack. And I remember one night it was, and you know, if you've never slept with a tin roof, oh, it's awesome. How many of you have ever slept? Probably nowadays you don't. My daddy said one time, I think I'll go put a piece of tin on the roof so I can hear about the good old days. But when you sleep with it raining on a roof that's a tin roof, oh my goodness, there's some good sleeping. But I always felt safe because I remember one particular night, I don't know how old I was, but I remember Mother walking around the bed. It was raining and she was putting pans to keep me from getting wet. So my mother wasn't perfect, but I tell you, I never felt unloved a day in my life. I knew my mother loved me. In fact, I think sometimes my mother loved her kids more than she loved the Lord. But she knew the Lord before she went to be with the Lord. I remember leading her to the Lord in 1978. She had cancer of the ovary. And she said, "Jerry, I think if I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven." And I led her to the Lord in 1978. And she got into Bible study fellowship. And we find her Bible where she would write in her Bible. You know, last night Sharon talked about being bullied. And some of you women have bullied your husbands. But many of you are being bullied by your husbands. You know what? God doesn't want us to obey demons. Women have been taught a lie that you submit to authority even if there's demons speaking through that authority. The Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they will not follow the voice of a stranger." The voice of a stranger is the voice of another. It's any voice that contradicts this word. And can I tell you, I don't care who's speaking and telling you what authority's telling you, if it's contradicting this word, you better not listen, because you are listening to a demon. And some of you are allowing yourself to be bullied in the name of submission to authority, and you're obeying demons. And I would hate to stand before the Lord and he would say to me, "Jerry, you spent your whole life serving the demons in somebody else." And you know, time seems like to me, time is running out. We better spend every day we have submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. And let me tell you, God wants you to submit to authority. He tells us we are to submit to the authority as unto the Lord. That means as God would speak to you, you submit. Even if a little bitty child, 2 years old, is speaking God to you, you better listen, because it's God. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not telling you not to submit to authority. I'm telling you God has ordained that women submit to authority and men submit to authority. But if somebody is submitting to their own false god and they're trying to control you through their demons, let me tell you, that's a sin. That is rebellion to the lordship of Jesus. Jesus has to be our Lord and Master. And so God doesn't want us bullying anybody, and he doesn't want anybody bullying us. He wants us to submit as unto the Lord. The Bible says he turns our mourning into joy, but you got to take it to him. And the Bible says there's a throne of grace we can go to. And Danica, and some of you have already seen this. Turn it. Okay, turn wide. That'll do. The Bible says go to Hebrews. I want you to go to Hebrews 4:16. It says, "Therefore," now this is why your mourning hasn't been turned to joy. You haven't taken it to the throne of grace. There's a throne of grace you can go to. At the throne of grace, you get strengthened, confirmed, established, perfected, and you get better instead of bitter. At the throne of grace, you get conformed into the image of Christ. Or can I tell you that if you're letting somebody bully you, you'll be conformed into their image. That's why so many times you see people that are married 60 years, they look just alike. They've controlled each other. And God doesn't want nobody but the Holy Spirit controlling you. Okay? It's rebellion to let a demon control you. It's rebellion to not let the Lord control you. And so we need to listen to what voice. The voice of a stranger is a voice that contradicts the word of God. And can I tell you, you better not listen. And you don't want to stand before the Lord with that on you. I want to spend every day of my life that I have left here serving God to do his purpose. And when he's through with me, I'm out of here. I don't even want to be here when God's through with me. There's nothing to live for except the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're trusting family members to make you happy or to comfort you, can I tell you it's not there? It's only in having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody, God won't let anybody meet your needs. He wants to be your need meter. Nobody can make you happy. Nobody can comfort you. He's the Holy Spirit that comforts you. And can I say he's the Holy Spirit of truth? Don't be mealy-mouthed about speaking the truth, because he is a spirit of truth. And if you don't speak the truth, and you know what? People don't like it. It's not popular, believe me. And you, the devil might try to bully you with that. And let me say, you're only bullied if you let yourself be bullied. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. But there's a throne of grace you can go to, and there God says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy." One of the curses in Deuteronomy is unrest. Hebrews 4 says, "See to it that you enter God's rest." The promised land was the land of rest. And the next, turn it to the next one, Danica. God is the potter and you're the clay. Now, I like to use the clay full of junk on the potter's wheel. You could put the one that didn't look like it had so many much junk. But it's the one on the potter's wheel with all the junk, or with not as much junk, that yields to the potter so the potter can take the junk out. Right? Now, these two, this clay figure is saying, you know, I know what God's word says, but I'm not going there. That's willful rebellion. As the clay rests on the potter's wheel, it's the potter's job to take the junk out. It's the potter's job to fashion you, mold you, make you, and make you that finished work of what he foreordained for you to be. That's the potter's job. There's reasons why we don't go. The next one, Danica. We think we have to do it ourselves. And that's a picture of somebody that grows up being performance-oriented, that he has to turn the potter's wheel and do it himself. And those are the ones that usually holler when you talk about obedience. That's legalism. Can I tell you, it's legalism to not be on the potter's wheel. Because on the potter's wheel, the fruit of the Spirit is manifested when you die to your life. The life of Christ comes through and your life produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And then it goes on and lists the deeds of the flesh, and it says, if you practice the deeds of the flesh, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. So if there's no law when my life is producing the fruit of the Spirit, there is a law when my life is not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Go to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read the deeds of the flesh. I can't quote those. It says, verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality. You wouldn't believe how many church members think that shacking up's okay. Can I tell you, you'll go to hell if you're shacking up? No person, no homosexual, liar, thief, adulterer, fornicator, reviler, slanderer will enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless he repents, of course. And we've all been some of those things. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. It says, idolatry, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which not an all-conclusive list, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, go back up and look down in verse 23, it gives the fruit of the Spirit. It says, against such there is no law. Okay, go back up to 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, what if you're led by a demon through somebody else? Can I tell you that will produce the deeds of the flesh? The only thing that's going to produce the deeds of the fruit of the Spirit is when you're dead to you. And a lot of times we submit to demons because we're afraid. We're afraid of making somebody mad. So we lie and we tell half-truths. Hey, God doesn't want you to have to sneak around and hide. He wants you to be free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, not bondage. If somebody's putting you under bondage, you're not in the presence of the Lord. But you can, you know what, you can get your heart right with the Lord, and you can have a sanctuary over you, and you can be walking in the Holy Spirit, and you're not under the law. Look over in chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that the Spirit set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. There's only supposed to be one yoke on your neck, the yoke of Jesus. And so, you're not under the law when you walk in the Spirit. So Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, the next one. Well, I don't go to the throne of grace maybe because I don't want to let go of my idol. Maybe your idol is you fear you're going to be killed if you don't submit to demons. You're going to fear you're going to pay. I was married 27 years and probably in those 27 years... My husband probably was mad at me most of those 27 years. I didn't get the connection. He was an extreme perfectionist, and it used to just get on me. I couldn't believe it. And see, I realized about 5 years before he died, I couldn't get the connection between how I was trained up and how he was. And then I realized my dad was a perfectionist concerning me. My sisters could rob a bank, and he wouldn't. He wouldn't say anything, but he would tell me down to the fingernail, get that red fingernail polish off. You look like a Jezebel. I told him one year, I said, Dad, you know what? He said, Jerry, I'm sorry that I'm always, you know, on you. I said, Dad, it's really because you love me the most. He said, you know, I'm glad you see it that way. You see, because the scripture says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. It not only means faith and trust in God, but it means freedom of speech. He had a clear conscience toward me because with me, he had freedom of speech. But he didn't with my sisters because he thought they'd be mad at him. And by the way, my little sister I've been praying for about 18 years has come to the Lord with all of her heart. And Lord, we break the power of fear over Michelle. And Lord, we break the power of every lie and horror. And through the circumstances that she's going through, and thank God, He allows us to go through things. The scripture says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep His word. And she's put her life on the altar, telling the Lord if this would glorify you the most or whatever. And she said, that's helped me more than anything. I keep saying, stay on the altar, stay on the altar, stay on the altar. But anyway, Lord, we bless her today, and we pray you protect her and make her the mighty woman of God that you have called her to be in Jesus' name. And so there, another reason we don't go is because we want to hold on to our sin. Hold on to your idol. And by the way, your idol is what makes you mad, what makes you afraid, what depresses you, what you're rebelling against if it's God. Your idol can be your husband, your wife, your children. The next, yourself. The last big log I got out of my eye, the biggest one I had. I said, this is kind of a sidetrack. No. Listen, I receive it. I want people to tell me. Merle Schroeder, last time he was here, he said he's an eye doctor, and he's always critiquing me. And he said, I bet you wish I'd go away. I said, no, I really welcome it. I want to know the answers to my problems because next year I'm going to be better. Tomorrow I'm going to be better. And you can be better or you can be bitter. But I'll just share about the log and then I'll get back on track, okay? Years ago, I was teaching a seminar and this girl came up to me and she went, oh, I got something in my eye. I said, have you ever judged anybody? She went, oh, my mother-in-law. And I said, well, who does she remind you of? She went, my mother. So I led her in repentance. She went, oh, it's gone. So I knew years ago that the logs in your eyes that they call floaters is really, the floaters are really logs in your eyes. So about 3 years ago, I was getting ready to teach here, and a little black swiggle went across my eye. And the Lord said, take the log out of your eye, then you will see clearly, because I've been praying about my eyes. And I thought, well, he wouldn't tell me to take it out if he meant I had to keep those floaters. So I said, okay, Lord, who is that? And the Lord told me, and I repented, broke soul ties, and I said, I'd take that log out of my eye, and it left. So then over the next period of time, I'd get a little thing, and I'd say, okay, Lord, who is that? I'd repent, break soul ties, and it would leave. And so I can tell you, I don't see any little swiggles in my eyes today, but that don't mean tomorrow I won't have one. But the biggest one I had wouldn't go away. I kept saying, "Lord, who is that?" Finally, he said, "That is you." You have an over-exaggerated view of yourself, inflated of yourself. So anyway, today my eyes are free of floaters, but tomorrow I might have another, and I'll say, "Lord, who is that?" I shared this in Suzanne's prayer group, one of the girls who left there, is a three-time world champion barrel racer. So she goes out the door and she emails me and she said, "You know, when after you shared that," and I got to thinking, she said, "You remember when I asked you to pray for me a few years ago when that horse threw me off?" She said, "I had a black thing in my eye ever since, and I thought it was from getting knocked off of a horse." And she said, and I said, "Lord, who is that?" The Lord showed her and he left. She said, "You've made a believer out of me." Anyway, back to this message. Everything you go through, God's got an answer. Just ask him. Now, if you had a daddy that would never answer your questions or never tell you anything intelligent or smart, then you think God's the same way. I was blessed to have a daddy that would give you his opinion whether you wanted to hear it or not. So I never doubt God's going to tell me when I ask him. Anyway, if you're afraid of God, see, that's a picture of a child grows up, fear of authority, fear they're going to be molested, fear they're going to be beaten, fear they're going to make their daddy and mother mad, so they tell a lie to tell, they'll lie. God says no liar is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So stop lying. Amen? Tell the truth. And it's not popular to tell the truth. But we're supposed to do it in love, and that's what I'm working on. It's easy for me just to speak it out and go, "Bleh." And I have to die to my flesh to say it. And you may have to die to your flesh to say it at all. God wants, he doesn't want us to be rude. And I have been very rude. And I ask you to forgive me for those I've been rude to. I don't mean to be. Just, it's ignorance. But I'm working on it. And so, we're afraid to yield to the potter. You see, that's still rebellion. That's still legalism because I'm under the law there. Next one. Or I think I have to get clean myself up before I can go. That's still legalism. That's still the law. That's still witchcraft. That still produces the deeds of the flesh. Okay, do it again. I think I have to be perfect before I can come. How many of you have confessed your sins? If you're praying for 2 hours, you spend an hour and 45 minutes confessing sins you've already confessed. That's the devil. When you confess it and you repent, it's the devil that brings it up again. When I learned that, I quit spending all my time confessing sins I'd already confessed. And now I try to walk in as I sin. Don't let them pile up. Confess them as they go. Okay, the next one. I have to beat myself up. You see, that's still under the law. That's still legalism. And that still produces the deeds of the flesh. Next one. Or, I don't like what God's doing. So you jump off. I don't like these circumstances. Can I tell you that wherever you go, you got to take yourself? And your reaping will follow you. So don't think, you know, you need a new husband. You need a new set of circumstances. It'll get worse. Learn to overcome in the midst of where you are. Okay, the next one. Or I'm out of here. I want a divorce. That's a fainter. Every time they go through a problem, they want to give up, quit, bail out, and leave. Amen? How did I learn about a fainting spirit? I lived with a fainter. My family would just make you faint. They wouldn't faint. They just... And I've never been around a fainter. I thought, I married somebody who's mentally ill. A fainter is a person, they're having a happy day, and when there's a circumstance, they take a nosedive. Want to quit, bail out. And see, we faint because we don't... Back up to the first. We faint because we don't go to the throne of grace. Back up one more time. There we get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected at God's throne of grace. If you grew up without a daddy, the lie is God's not there, so don't go. You see why we faint, we give up, we quit, we want to bail out, we don't go to God, we don't let him ask him what the problem is. And so we either get bitter or we get better. we get conformed into his image or we get conformed into the bully or the abuser. If you will, go to Psalms 139, verse 1. It says, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, in verse 2, and mine uprising. You understand my thoughts from afar. You've encompassed my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know everything about me, God. For there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You know before I even speak, Lord. Such knowledge, or verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whether shall I go from your spirit or whether shall I flee from your presence? I can't get away from you, God. If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me up. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Even if it's dark, your light around me, Lord, it'll still be light because, Lord, you dwell in inapproachable light. And in you there's no darkness. For you have possessed my reins or my heart. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You saw me even before when I was in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows it right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members were written, wherein continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, when God let your father's sperm meet with your mother's egg and you were conceived, he had a plan for your life. His plan is not for you to live in the nasty now and now. You have to live in it, but you can live in it in total peace. Because he is the Prince of Peace. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. There's a sorrow that leads to death, and there's a sorrow that leads to repentance. If you don't deal with grief, it will work out in your physical body as pain, emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain. I remember having a guy that had come out of a homosexual lifestyle. He hosted about 20 seminars for me in the Austin area. And him and his wife emailed me. He wanted to know if I had any insight into pain in his rectum. And the Holy Spirit just said, yes, soul ties with anyone that you've had anal sex with, especially someone that has hurt you there. Within 15 minutes, he emailed me back and said, I was totally healed. I just got back from Detroit. A lady came up to me and she said, I just had a hysterectomy, and ever since then, it hurts so bad when I urinate. Such pain. I said, have you ever been into sexual sin? She said, yes. I said, well, close your eyes, and I want you, between you and God, go back as far as your earliest childhood and forgive every person you've ever had sex with. Ask God to forgive you. Forgive anyone that's hurt you. And repent and tell me when you're through. So when she got through, I led her in a prayer to break soul ties, and she was instantly healed. All the pain left her. You see, remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. You don't have to live in pain. I'm so encouraged. I was thinking the other day about, by the way, those of you who know Velma, she's with Jesus, dancing with her king. But she had bone cancer, broken bones in her back, breast cancer, liver cancer, skull cancer. She had her nerves were, she had a tumor in her brain, and the nerves were wrapped around her brain. She went blind. She had to eat everything pureed. She couldn't stand up. She couldn't walk. And I would say, how's my Velma today? And you could barely understand her. She'd say, good, Jerry. I'm good. And so the Lord has, she's in heaven with him. But what I want to share about that is that Velma knew the principles of God sending his word to heal her. When she first got cancer, she began to look up all the scriptures on bones, grief, and she repented over the word until she went blind and couldn't see. But in 3.5 years, Velma never took pain medicine except right at first. She died without any pain medication. And so, also my son Todd, who died of AIDS in 1989. His testicles were this big. He went blind in his eye. He had Kaposi sarcoma. He had to wear a diaper. He looked like a 90-year-old Holocaust victim. His skin was rotting. We had to start wrapping his arms because of the skin was rotting. And the lady from hospice said, you better get morphine because homosexuals with AIDS die with in excruciating pain. And even with morphine, they have to be tied to the bed. So I got him the morphine because I didn't want him to suffer. And I said before he died, I said, Todd, does anything hurt you? He said, no, Mom. I poured every bit of that morphine down the toilet because, you see, Todd dealt with his unforgiveness and bitterness. His stepfather was so mean to him that he was, when I moved Todd into the house, because my son Kyle said, Mom, we got to get him out of Dallas, out of that homosexual atmosphere. And here he had AIDS, and his stepfather didn't want him in the house. And I'm not saying this out of bitterness. I'm sharing you my grief and my pain. I have totally forgiven. But I brought him in the house, and Kyle said, Mom, we've got to get him out of there. And he said, Todd, I'll take care of you. I'll quit my job and take care of you. You can come live with me. Well, I couldn't bear the thought of him being a homosexual with AIDS with my newborn granddaughter and my 2-year-old granddaughter. I couldn't bear the thought of that. And so I brought him home. And that was an experience. And he was there a week, and Bob said, and of course he had fever and diarrhea, and his stepfather said, I don't want no homosexual with AIDS in my house. I said, Todd, just forgive him. And so about a week before Todd died, Todd was laying in a bed that hospice brought out, and Bob was standing up at the door, and tears were coming down his stepfather's eyes. And Todd said, I love you, Bob. That's the kind of heart he had, and he died free of pain. You see, you got to get the bitterness, the anger, the unforgiveness out, because the unforgiveness will cause you to be turned over to the tormentors, the torturers, which are demons that inflict pain. Torment, inquisitors, when you don't forgive, means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor that stretches someone on a board and tortures them. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And you see, pain is just God's alarm system trying to tell you, hey, you got some stuff down there that needs to be dealt with. And so I've learned to ask the Lord to show me. And let me tell you this, God uses your family to clean you up. How do I know? Because the things that bother me sometimes about people in my life, that my difficult people, God says, you did the same thing. You did the same thing. Oh, God, that's right, I did. Makes you so much more compassionate with them when you see you did the same thing. And so if you don't deal with grief, it'll work out in physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, sexual pain, pain of disease. And God wants to exchange your sorrow for joy. Weeping may go on for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The sorrow that leads to death is if I go to God with my sorrow. If I don't, I come short of the grace of God and I receive a root of bitterness. And I also receive the spirit of death. The sorrow that leads to repentance means I go to God and deal with it His way. The sorrow that leads to death means that I don't deal with it. I sweep it under the rug. And let me tell you, when you sweep it under the rug, that's where it stays. If you want to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus, you can't sweep nothing under the rug. Nothing. You got to deal. You got to get it out, get the dirt out, and deal with it. Because God's got a lesson in everything you go through. And over the years in ministry, I've seen people instantly healed of grief when they are willing to forgive. And I've seen people hold on to their grief because they're stubborn and unrepentant. I'm thinking of people right now. I know people right now that it's kind of like They're in so much pain. They're so miserable. They're so unhappy. They're like a wild animal caught in a barbed wire fence, and you're trying to get them out. And it's like, I know what I need to do. The demons. Hey, don't be stubborn. Humble yourself. And I'm still working on humble. I don't claim to be humble. I know that's the root of my problems. Because Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth. And his eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. And so I'm working on it. When we were praying, I was saying, oh God, just show me what to do. And I'll do it. Because I need my eyes. And I thank God that I can still see. Praise the Lord. I've seen him heal people instantly, and I've seen people healed layer by layer. In my own life, it's been layer by layer in a lot of things. And so I pray, you know, I pray even for every person here that God will heal all your grief and all your sadness and all your sorrow as you take it to him. He's got an answer. He wants you to live an overcoming life. And, you know, I pray I have a kennel that pays my bills. Because I've discovered so far there has not been any money in the ministry. It's one thing I appreciate about like Hamilton. People, a lady from South Africa the other day told me she had listened online to some CDs that MP, whatever. You can, I don't know what they are. But anybody can go into Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and pull up teachings free of charge. And that's what I appreciate about Lake Hamilton. I appreciate Patty and Kevin. And I think this camp, as much as I love Glenn, I can tell you this camp is better than it's ever been. And I believe it's just now starting. One thing I've been doing, and you need to do too, I've been breaking the curses that's been sent against us to keep us from moving out, to keep people out of our ministry, to keep people from coming to Lake Hamilton. And look, I mean, I don't, it's their prayers too. But I've been praying because the Lord showed me the familiar spirits that follow you around. They know just how to hold you back and keep you bound. And I've been breaking that off of the teachers here at Lake Hamilton and over this camp and over my life and over Kyle's life. Because we have something to share to give to people, but it's anathema to most. Because most people in the church, they don't want to deal with their sin. They can go and get gold dust falling from heaven or jewels or be drunk in the spirit for 3 hours and look like a sprayed cockroach on the floor because they're drunk in the spirit. And that's the truth. Let me tell you, it's demon possession. Some of you may get mad at me and not want to ever come back, but let me tell you, if I don't speak the truth, I might as well quit the ministry because I'm not going to help anybody. I just need to get a little bit more tactful about the way I do it. I confess. And thank you. Those of you who know me real well. I know. I appreciate your prayers too. But I pray that every person I meet in the kennel, you know, I have a kennel and I use that business for the Lord. The other day I gave a man a book. I said, this will show you how you can know how you spend eternity. I said, you probably already know that. He said, no, I don't. I want to know. The other day, I sold a puppy to a lady in California, and she was in a wheelchair. And she kept saying, and I know I'm not an angel, okay? But she kept saying, I think I've met an angel. Anyway, she started telling me about, you know, when you speak the word of life to people, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not church members, they, for the most part, don't want to hear it. But when you speak to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, they are ready to receive. This lady said, I'm grieving. My dog was my protector, and my heart is broken over this dog. And she said, I can't hardly even breathe. She said, I was in the shower, and I think I only took one breath, which was not true, but that's what it seemed like to her. I should have been dead. But anyway, I said, honey, God, I said, your dog can't protect you. Only God can protect you. Have you ever given your heart to the Lord? She said, well, I don't know. I led her to the Lord, did deliverance over, and she said, I can breathe. She was a lost sheep of the house of Israel. Praise the Lord. And so God wants, wherever, as Diane was sharing, as God overshadows you in whatever you do, hey, his shadow changes the atmosphere. If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. That is a comforting scripture to me, so I want to keep my life right with the Lord, because even with the one world order that's right around the corner, can I tell you, if your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. When you walk the highway of holiness, no lying, no fool, no unclean, no Muslim, no one world order, no communist, no killer, no evil army can get near you, because no fool, no lying, no unclean can get on it. Hallelujah. Job 28 says, when you walk the way of wisdom, you're hidden from all the eyes of the living. Colossians says you're hidden with God in Christ. The problem is we get out of Christ. I mean, we're in Him, but we get out of Him through rearing up and being in the flesh. You've got to put on meekness. You've got to humble yourself, deny yourself, and take up your cross. That's when you're hidden. Because that's when the life of Jesus comes through. It's when I'm dead to me, then the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through and I'm hidden. Amen? I'm thinking of a lady that was at another one of my seminars, and she just asked her if I could pray for her, and she just fell into my arms sobbing. Her only daughter had died in a car wreck, and she didn't get to tell her goodbye. So I led her in a prayer to ask the Lord to tell her daughter goodbye. You know, God forbids us to talk to the dead, but we can ask God to tell our loved ones whatever. There's tremendous healing. We all have regrets. We wish we'd have said this. I mean, so many times I'll say, Lord, would you tell my mother, forgive me for being a brat? Would you forgive my mother forgive me for this? Lord, would you tell Bob to forgive me? Because, you know, the more I go on, I'm thinking I got on his nerves. And I looked at my junkie laundry room one day, and I thought, you know, I'm getting on my own nerves. I said, Lord, please tell Bob to forgive me that I had no patience with that. Please ask him, or please tell Todd, forgive me for not being this or that. I remember telling Todd about it a week before he died. I said, Todd, would you please forgive me for not being the kind of mother you could crawl up in my lap? He said, Mom, you did the best you knew how. And so, even though we're not supposed to talk to the dead, in fact, that's necromancy. And if you come out of Catholicism, you need to renounce necromancy. But you can ask God to tell them. And we've all wish we'd have done this. We wish we'd have done that. We wish we'd have said this. We wish we hadn't have said that. And so God can tell them what He wants to. I don't even know if He tells them. But you know what? It takes the burden off of me. And God can do with it whatever He wants. And I thought of another girl that came out of Satanism. Some of you knew her. Most selfless person I've ever known. And I still love her dearly. I talk to her probably about once a week. And I'm really proud of what God has done in her life. But she had to break away from me, because as long as I was in her life, I was trying to be her Holy Spirit. Don't go that way. She had to learn for herself. But for about 10 years, I ministered to this girl, and I used to sit and cry when I would minister to her because of all the pain she went through. She was sold to a pornographic ring when she was 12. She was sold to a prostitution ring at 14. She was used as a breeder. All of her babies were pickled and put in bottles and frozen freezers and offered to Satan. And all the pain that she went through a satanic family. If every person I ever met put all of their problems together and multiplied them by a million, they would have not even touched what this girl went through. You could not think of a heinous crime that was not committed against her. Buried alive in a field with her head sticking out, put in closets with hornets, just every crime imaginable. And not only to her, but many people in her same that are satanically or ritually abused grow up in satanic families, are taken and ritualized. These things, most of these crimes go unreported because nobody would believe it anyway. People still criticize me for ministering to her. They don't even believe anything I say. I wouldn't believe it either if I hadn't have experienced it through what God taught me, not her, through ministering. And I'm really thankful for what God's done in her life now. I mean, she's practicing principles that she learned. She's not tolerating sin. And It is an absolute miracle. And can I tell you, if you've been satanically witchly abused, they're not all, they're altars to false gods, but they're demons. They're not people in people. Anyway, a book could be written about the things that has happened to her. I wish I'd have written it all down. People used to look at me like, you know, she's going to destroy your life. I've had people tell me she'll destroy your life. But I knew my life was being built up in faith because of what I learned ministering to her. In fact, I think because I'm not in her life, she's regretted thinking maybe she's made a mistake, because I told her one day, it's time you just need to take a hike. But I still love her, and she's still a friend. Because she came to the place, like just like your children, after a while she began to buck up against what I told her, just like a rebellious child. So I said, okay, no more. Because her demons hated me, even though she loved me with her whole heart. And I think she's regretted the fact that maybe I'm not in her life anymore, because I was an idol in her heart. And I told her just last week, I said, I want to tell you something. My life is better because I knew you. And I do. I love her. I love her so much. She's the kind of person that if you were on the other side of the United States and you called her to come get you, she'd crawl if she had to get there. That's the kind of person she is. And I miss the relationship I had with her, but I knew it was time for me not to try to... Because if people are in my life, I'm saying, hey, wait a minute, this is the way of wisdom, not this way. And it keeps me frustrated if they don't listen, and it keeps them frustrated because God's got to be the one to tell them, not me. So anyway, and so, you know, I personally know the pain of betrayal, the pain of divorce, abandonment, losing a child. I know all that pain. At one point in my life, somebody called me Miss Job, but you know what? I haven't gone through anything. I mean, my pain has been a little, because I can honestly tell you that everything I've gone through has worked for my good. Not one thing. I can't think of one thing in my life has not been worked for my good. Even this eye, the things I keep talking about, God healing my eyes. You know what? God's used that to discipline me. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that He's humbling me. And, you know, I want to say, Lord, whatever it takes to be what you want me to be, that's what I want to be. You know what I need, when I need it, if I need it, when to give it to me. Amen? Because my purpose is to live for you. And you know what I need to do to live for you. And you know what I need to have to live for you. And so I trust Him. When I was standing over, I was over here repenting, Lord, show me about my eyes, Lord. What am I missing?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.